Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It was warm. The week started out warm, and then we got some snow here on Tuesday, and we just ignored it, of course, as you would ignore an embarrassing relative. It was pretty. It's not that. All the snow, sort of like an etching, white there against a sort of a gray background. But we're not poets. We're tired of winter, and so we just didn't even look at it or think about it or talk about it. It's just like some old embarrassing uncle who don't get involved with it. Don't argue with it. You're just going to wind up yelling at somebody. The snow filled up that enormous pothole, which is still there in Main Street. It's in the front of the Mercantile, and Mr. Berge hit it going full tilt. He was on his way towards the Sons of Canute for the early morning coffee, and he hit this pothole hard, and it turned his radio on, and Frank Sinatra was singing, and it knocked a filling out of his tooth, and it suddenly brought back this memory of the circus that came to town, the Keller and Koch circus, just a little one-ring circus that came to town with a couple of camels, and there was a dog that loved to do backflips, and there was a juggler, and there was a contortionist named Marie who was there in this beautiful skimpy for back then, bathing suit, and she twisted herself into all kinds of figures and numerals and, you know, letters of the alphabet, and then she twisted herself and folded herself up inside this bread box, and then she handed up to the juggler her brassiere. She handed it up to him, and if you paid a quarter, you could walk up on stage and you could look down into the bread box, and Mr. Berge did. And there she was, and she had, of course, her arms folded across her breast and her knees all drawn up to her chin. But ever since then, he's been thrilled anytime a woman crosses her arms. Anytime a woman folds her arms, just made this old man. That's how he got married, as a matter of fact. The woman who he was going out with, Elsie Larson, she was reading him the riot act, and she folded her arms, and he asked her to marry him. And just based on all of this from one pothole, all of this came back to him. She's still mad at him. She's just been furious at him for years, and she tells him that she's going to replace him with a golden retriever whenever he dies. And she's already bought a bed for the dog, and she's bought a collar. It's all waiting there, and now she's looking at brochures from golden retriever breeders, not retrieval breeders. That would be something entirely indifferent indeed. It's the full moon this last week. The pink. A full moon. It's named for wildflowers, which supposedly bloom brightest in the moonlight. And the story about the pink full moon is that if you find these wildflowers, which are pink, you make a tea from the blossoms, and this tea will bring you happiness. Will bring you wild happiness. There's also something else about it, that you have to go into the woods at midnight, which of course could be spooky, and you have to go with a virgin, is how some people have it, and other people have it that you have to go with a person who has an aversion to you, and so maybe you'd play it safe by combining the two in one person. You'd find a virgin who loathes you, and you'd go into the woods and you'd find this and you'd make a tea from it. If wild happiness is something that you are interested in, I don't know. I think it's something you ought to think about. I wouldn't dash off into the woods to find it. Wild happiness is going to be a kind of a streaky thing, you know. You may prefer to have a sort of a quiet, continual happiness, which is possible, I think. And that would just go on, a kind of a steady, low hum of happiness rather than a wild happiness, which usually involves periods of also wild despair. Anyway, not that I have a lot of experience with that. Anyway, nobody's going into the woods and they're not going in there with anybody else who we wouldn't even want to ask these questions about. So we'll just let that lie. Just let that lie. It's sort of like reading about perfection in Scripture, you know, it's not going to happen. It's like the men's Bible group who were reading about the Last Supper. Somehow the discussion got away from them and they started to talk about opening up a restaurant in Lake Wobegon, a restaurant that would be on a farm and it would specialize in fresh vegetables. And then they got into a vineyard. They were going to have a vineyard and there was going to be a winery. Well, anytime you talk about a winery in Lake Wobegon, it's not going to happen. It's just, we know that it's not. Other things are possible, but that would not be one of them. Big week, Holy Week in Lake Wobegon, of course. It was Palm Sunday last Sunday, and all of the Lutherans marched outside the church. Pastor Liz organized an outdoor procession, though it was not great weather, but nonetheless, all of the Lutherans processed, feeling sort of sheepish, of course, about making a big display of themselves outdoors. But, you know, all we are like sheep, so it makes sense. All of the little girls who have grandmothers on hand who are paying attention were wearing pink Easter dresses with Mary Janes and high white stockings, and they were wearing little straw hats with bows or with little ribbons hanging down. And all of the other little girls whose grandmothers are communists or whose grandmothers are in prison doing time for second-degree homicide wore jeans and T-shirts. Not that God prefers one over the other. No. This is not a reflection on the children, only a reflection on the grandmothers. And those little daughters of communist grandmothers wearing jeans and T-shirts, you know, they looked as proud as they looked staunch. They were not going to hang their heads, even though they felt self-conscious and they knew that people were staring at them. And those little girls are going to grow up to become writers. And one of the first things that they write will be something about their grandmothers. And it will not be nice. No. So it's Easter weekend, and the lilies will arrive in church today, Saturday, and the great crowd will come in on Easter. Arlene Bunsen is expecting 23 for dinner at her table. The exiles coming back from the big cities, coming back home for Easter. She's going to make a big ham with a mustard glaze, and she'll have mashed potatoes, of course, and there'll be string beans. There'll be coconut cream pie. The daughters-in-law call to ask if there was anything they could bring. And Arlene said, no, just bring yourselves. The daughters-in-law are not from Lake Wobegon, and so they don't know what an insult this is when you are asked to come to dinner and not bring anything. This is a very broad hint about your incompetence. You're supposed to argue with this, but they did not. The real church was Good Friday. That's when all of the hardened sinners are in church, all of the rot-gut sinners. Those are the people you're going to want to know. No, that's the day you want to go to church. Go to Good Friday. It's a bleak, unattractive service. Unattractive people attending it. You're going to need those people as you get older. You have to listen to me when I tell you this, because I'm older than you. You have social skills right now, but your social skills will fade, and this youth and enthusiasm and this beautiful sense of humor that you have will fade with time, and you become old and dry, cynical, hardened, and there will be no reason for people to like you. except out of principle. And those are the people you'll meet in church on Good Friday. Sinners, hardened, corrupt, dark, dark sinners, blackened hearts in church on Friday. There'll be a lot of nice people at church on Sunday, but Good Friday is the people you're going to need when you do something horrible, which you might do. If you were to murder your father because he suggested that because you were 40 years old, it was time for you to move out and find your own place to live, and you couldn't control yourself, and you went after him with a clothes hanger, and you strangled him right there, and you threw his body down the stairs, you're going to need friends. See? If you're involved in an enormous Ponzi scheme that bilks good people out of millions of dollars, you're going to need real good friends. Somebody who will stick with you and who will come to see you in prison when you complain about how your defense attorney did not allow you to testify and did not bring expert witnesses up to testify about the effects of a sugar rush and that hot fudge sundae that you'd had 5 minutes before you murdered your father. The defense attorney didn't allow you to get up and give testimony about how burned you got when he got that tone of voice and he could be really pushy. You're dead, and that's why you killed him. And you need a friend who will listen to that without comment. A friend who will say, you know, I never would have imagined you in a bright orange jumpsuit, but it looks good on you. I like your hair that way. It's very dramatic, and if it weren't for this thick plexiglass window, I'd put my arms around you. People at church on Good Friday are the ones who would say that. They'd come see you. They'd put their arms around you, plexiglass window or not. You're going to need those people someday. So will I. I'm sorry you didn't go to church on Friday. Remember it for next year. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.